It's finally winter.
Yeah.
It happened.
I was like so bummed scraping snow off my truck this morning, but it was
almost kind of getting to the point where I was like, it's kind of time. Yeah. If we're going to do winter, we should, you know, and then you kind of worry about like what the summer is going to look like if the winter's, you know, when we've had in the past few years, when you have years where the snow is bad, that has rough knock-on effects for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And I've always thought that it could snow like the day after Thanksgiving and then snow as much as it wants.
Yep.
And then stop snowing around Valentine's Day.
Yep. Yep.
That would be like perfect for me, but
it seems like it starts snowing around early December and then it kind of doesn't snow and then it snows a bit and then it dumps in March or something weird.
Right when you're really excited to start riding, it starts dumping.
And, yeah.
So
winter's here. I guess maybe this is a good segue to hit our first thing. First off, I didn't make it. Feeling a little under the weather, but running group was great from what I heard.
Yeah. Like, and you'll have to excuse me. I kind of have a post running cough because I realized I'm out of running shape right now.
That's a qualifier, running. Anyway, yes, running shape is what you're at.
Yes, that's right. But yeah, running group is awesome. We had a really good turnout. It was a lot of fun. It's always surprising. Like, I'm always surprised at how many miles I get in during a running group, you know, and it just kind of feels like you're playing games and stuff, but it's really good. I'm a little bit sore and I think I will be sore, but it was awesome. So come check it out. It's really cool. Now, everyone, make sure you're listening. So for the last three or four, however, I don't know how many years we've been doing running group. It's been a while. It's always been Monday. Amy has conflicts on Monday and Wednesday. So we're going to start doing running group on Tuesday.
Yes.
And so that's not going to be great for people to do schemo, but I think for most everyone else, it's going to work out.
It's kind of the only way we can.
It's going to work out good. So.
And I guess on that, getting feedback from people.
Oh, wait, actually one more thing. Yeah. So it's going to be Tuesdays, 4:30. The locations change. They vary. They do different things every day, every time. But one thing I did want to really encourage is for adults to come. Like parents,
yes.
Take your kids to running group and come and run with us. Like,
your kids will love that. They won't be angry at
all. Like we had quite a few parents there today too, that drove their kids there and just kind of ran with us. And it's really, really fun. So
I maintain that a large part of the success of youth mountain biking in the US is that it's masquerading as a kid's sport. And that it's really an adult sport that you drag your kids to kicking and screaming for the first couple of years. Parent involvement is always welcome.
Yes.
Like, please, please, please.
Yeah. So there's that. Go ahead.
So with this in mind, we last year and maybe the year before had run Zwift team rides on Wednesdays. We've had a lot of feedback that people have conflicts with Wednesdays. And then our wonderful schemo folks, who we want to accommodate because they're good at winning races because they're freaks. Our wonderful schemo folks have practices Tuesday and Thursdays. So with that in mind, we're thinking we're going to run Team Zwifts on Mondays, which should be great. I think there's a world where I'm definitely open to doing more than one. We really want people to come though. So run them on Mondays. If there's and communicate to us, if there's a huge, if I've, you know, 12 people asking me to run another one at some point in the week, I'm very open to that. But I think we will run our first one, a week from, well, I say today, I probably won't publish this till tomorrow, but we'll see. This coming Monday, whatever that is, December
7th,
I guess, because today, I guess it would be the 8th. Today's the first. Math's hard. But yeah, come to both. Really, truly. Both are great. We will also try to throw some winter hikes in there. Don't delete TeamSnap. This team kind of runs year round in some ways.
So can I just, are you done with that? Like, I just want to say something about hiking.
Mm.
Like I've been doing some hiking lately. I've gone on a couple of really cool hikes. And I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
It's such a cool sport. Like
it really is.
You know, and I think the first few times you go, you kind of come back a little bit sore, and your feet kind of hurt, and your legs, your muscles a little bit torn, and but you kind of get over that if you do a lot of it, if you keep conditioning your body. And it's just cool because you can go places you can't really go on your bike. You can kind of see, it's almost like you kind of become a little bit more a part of nature than you can be on your bike and so forth. Just really cool. So, do hiking, hike up steep things fast. That'll get you fast.
And to add on to that, not to add, but to kind of reiterate the point, like the going places you can't go on your bike is kind of underrated. Like bikes are wonderful because you can cover a lot of ground, but bikes can go crazy places, but like there are trails that you can't really, either because you're not allowed to, or just because it's not practical to, like you can't ride your bike on. And the other cool thing about winter hiking is you can just like, from the kids will get the joke, you're in creative mode. You can just kind of go wherever. I mean, as long as you're not hiking somewhere where there's avalanche danger, right? But like my favorite is the foothills. The foothills of Salt Lake are just like, because we used to live between, growing up, Parley's and Immigration. And like those foothills up there, kind of in like the Granger Peak area, I just walk out and, was blessed enough to live in a place where you could do this, but walk out my back door and just be like, I'm going to go that way today. And like walk, because it's snow, right? Or I found too that the kind of new shoreline area just north of Parley's, there's some unbelievable, like I took you on the Pencil Point Ridge.
Yeah, that was really,
really cool.
Cool,
right? I think that's kind of the beauty of it. Like I don't even mess with the cottonwoods a lot of the time. Like it's fun to go snowshoe up there, but like just in the foothills of Salt Lake, and up like in the Corner Canyon area too, there's a lot of cool stuff, obviously, but winter
really
hiking is awesome.
Kind of takes care of the long, slow aspect of our training.
It's much easier to do a 5-hour hike than a 5-hour Zwift, right? Not that you need to be going for 5 hours, but a 3-hour hike versus a 3-hour Zwift, I think is a lot more enjoyable. And then like audiobooks and podcasts. I think honestly, audiobooks in particular, you can get your trekking poles and like pick a route that's technical and challenging. Don't just walk on, don't walk up Canyon Hollow. That's boring. Like, pick a point that you want to get to, or like do like the Houndstooth up by, there's like, so many cool things.
Like do steep, fast hikes.
Yes.
And, but then again, just like don't go into avalanche dangerous areas.
Yeah.
And
these are all the areas we're talking about here are basically non-existent avalanche danger. So you can,
don't go up really, really rocky slabs and get stuck and have search and rescue come get you, be smart. Use what frontal lobe you have. And
well, hey, it's a big ask. But that's what I love about the foothills is virtually no avalanche danger. You're not dealing with anything like the conditions need to be concerned with. And then it's also like, if something went wrong, you just go downhill, right? And like, you'll end up at you civilization's right there. Like, it would be hard to mess up in a really big way. So we'll try to run some, but do winter hiking. Winter hiking is, it's the poor, unskilled man ski touring, so.
Okay.
So with all that in mind, maybe to kind of give you an intro, because we did actually share notes before this, we've talked before about, I think one of the things that would help retention post NICA, just in, not just for the team, but like for the sport, keeping people in the sport, is when people realize how big and wide and colorful the world of, I mean, like you could say mountain biking, but cycling and even maybe it's like endurance athletics are. I tell people I only did 2 cross, like XCO style cross country races last year. And then I didn't do much racing period, but like endurance racing is a huge thing. Obviously there's like the gravel thing, there. And then even within like the endurance things, it's not just true grit and point to point, so we're going to kind of run over some of the cool,
Well, cause I was kind of thinking about it. How many Nike kids, all they ever do, basically their whole mountain bike career is they only ride at Corner Canyon, and then the only time they ever ride somewhere else is if it's like pre-riding for a race.
Yeah.
And there's...
and like one Park City ride a year,
Well, even I know a lot of kids that don't even do that. Like, and I think everyone just thinks too that there's like, that there's the Nike racing, and then the people that know a little bit more will know about the iCup series and stuff. And then other kids know about like the national series, but there's like so much more than that, that even I don't really think about a lot.
Oh yeah.
And so that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today, is just, because the thing is if you have like a cool event that you're planning on that you want to do well at, it's so motivating to do your, just to stay fit over the winter and to do your HIIF training and to be ready for it. Just gives you, you know, and especially like post NICA, it's really nice to have a reason to want to stay fit and so forth. So I think these are really cool things to be aware of, but also, you know, we really want to, you know, we've been doing Mavericks for a while. I think this coming year, I'd really like to do just some unique things that are going to create memories and really going to just add to the overall joy you experience doing this sport. And we've got some kind of fun ideas that are just kind of a little, just unique, that I think will be really, really cool. And so we're going to tease those a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of the, you know, I think this will be a little bit shorter podcast, but hopefully it's eye-opening to realize that, yeah, there's a lot of cool things that we could throw our hats into those rings that we don't really think about, you know. And, you know, and like with the national series and stuff, like a lot of kids go out there and experience that and go through all the expense and the time and
get to learn all the rules.
Yeah. You know, just to kind of get chewed up and spit out, you know, but, and some of these events you could show up to and do really, really well at, and it could be just a really awesome experience and something that's unique. And when you're telling people about it, they've never heard of it, which could be kind of cool. So yeah, but
I have a pitch. Can I make a pitch? 30-second pitch. I don't know a lot of things. I did spend a long time in the bike industry. And I did actually do some sponsor relation stuff for backcountry. It wasn't most of what I was doing, but I did that for a little bit. If you, for reasons that are perplexing to me, would love for your kid to be a professional cyclist, or if you, a kid, love the idea of the whole having sponsors game, which is a more mixed bag than most people realize, I want to throw out, but you could try and make it in XCO, which is great if you're one of the three Americans to do that and go live in Europe and do that whole thing, which is great. And I'm genuinely not discouraging it. Braden Johnson, friend of the podcast, and never rode for Maybird, but was kind of in our circle when we were starting it, made it. He made it over to Europe. He rode with Bear and did great with Bear and with Santa Cruz, the Italian Santa Cruz team. He's riding for Allied now. Super cool stuff. The overwhelming momentum in terms of what people want to throw sponsorship money at are cool alternative events. Lachlan Morton is probably driving 85 to 90% of the engagement that EF got, maybe where they had the yellow jersey for a day this year. It was more like 70% of the engagement they got online. But like Lachlan Morton isn't even doing like events most of the time. He's picking like, I'm going to go ride to this place. No one's ever been. I'm going to go ride around Australia the fastest. Like even beyond these events we're going to talk about today, find something that motivates you. And like, even if you kind of want to go the pro route, like Isaac Boyden, another friend of the pod, been on a couple times, a good friend of mine, got a deal with Allied this year, and he's doing almost entirely endurance mountain bike and lifetime Grand Prix and some of these, well, we say left field, but like lifetime Grand Prix is basically mainstream now, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, even if you're interested in going the kind of pro getting sponsors route, like Rosten Nordell is another one I'd throw out. If you don't follow him, you should try to get him on the team. But Rosten has a whole deal with Lauf now, and he's like, was good. He got injured, but he's going to try anything where he did like, what was it, 30 Everests and 30 or whatever is crazy. Everest,
or no, he's in, like seven Everests and seven Everests. Days. Seven,
yeah, 30. That's crazy. But like,
he only got like, what, four or five Everests?
Blew up his knees. But oh, yeah, only got four or five. Jeez, what a bum. No, but like, I do want to throw out that like, if you are motivated by the thought of kind of having some kind of a professional career, putting together a cool collection of content based around interesting alternative events will probably serve you better than getting 37th in Wisconsin. I'm just going to throw that point out there and people can accept it in the spirit in which it was offered.
Okay. So yeah. So today we're talking about just alternative events that you don't normally think about that. And I actually just did a lot of searching online and was kind of discovering cool things. It was actually kind of fun. And like, let me just say my bucket list is a lot bigger than it was before I started this. And one thing I just want to point out is everything I'm talking, because everyone knows gravel's getting huge.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems like, yeah, you've got the races we're familiar with. And if you want to do anything else,
anything left field is gravel.
It has to be gravel. And that's not true. Everything I'm talking about today is mountain biking. No, yeah. Granted, it's more the endurance type mountain biking. But yeah, everything here, you wouldn't have to get a new bike for. This is mountain bike stuff. And also everything I'm pointing out, except like one, is you can drive two in a day.
Yeah.
And there, if you're willing to drive 2 or 3 days, my list could be triple. But I've tried to limit it to, you know, kind of Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, California, kind of Idaho, kind of the closer states.
Before you dive in, can I make a really cynical point?
Yes.
Everyone pause this, okay? Pause it. See you in a sec.
Okay.
Okay, welcome back. You went and looked at your bike in the garage, which I forgot to tell you to do, so you didn't know where to go during that pause, but I'm not going to go back and re-record that. So you went out in the garage and you looked at your bike. That's a gravel bike in 3 years. Your scalpel in the garage, that's a gravel bike in 3 years, just so you know.
Yeah.
Bike industry doesn't want you to know that, but guess what the next gravel bike is going to be? It's going to be longer and slacker. It's going to be not the new Trek, Check, whatever, has a rear shock, you know. Oh. Niners Magic Carpets had a rear shock since I was in high school, so... Just thrown out, like, you don't need a new bike anyway, because the next gravel bike is going to be a scalpel with a 142 rear axle.
Okay.
Or not. It's going to be boost gravel, and then mountain bike's going to do a super boost. Anyway, move on.
Well,
can you guys tell I'm bitter from my tours of duty in the bike industry?
Okay. Well, so before, before we go into our list, one thing I was thinking about the off season, that's one of the most important aspects of the off season, is that you guys get a break from the stress of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Because racing is a lot of stress. Now, it's more stress for some people than others. Typically, I'd say it's more stress for high performers than people like me. But it is a lot of stress. And so I hope that you're really enjoying this break from racing, that it's a fairly long break, you know, and that it's rejuvenating and to not have to be in like fight or flight mode every other week. I hope that feels good. It's an important aspect of the off season. And that's the thing about a lot of these races that I'm going to be talking about today, is I really think that you're going to find these a lot less stressful. You know, like the other, you know, we don't, I wish we did more of the midweek races. And I really think that more riders should do some of the midweek races, because they are so much fun. And you're just not as nervous before them. You get like a killer workout. You know, you really, really get out there and just push yourself. But it's so much fun. And it's just not, you just don't stress out about it as much as you would like one of your Nike races or, you know. So, I think a lot of these races are just things that you're going to be able to do. They're going to be fun. You're going to get some race craft. You're going to, you know, it's going to help move your fitness needle, but it's not as stressful. Like who stresses out about True Grit?
Me. No, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not representative.
I mean, like, no one stresses out about Mesa Verde, right?
It's or like Frog Hollow. Like, it's a party.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you still get out there and push yourself and get some PRs and great performances and stuff. But okay. So, we like a lot of disclaimers and background information and stuff. So, I'm just going to start talking about, well, first of all, you know, some things that Maybird's done in the past that we're going to continue, and these aren't races, but they're just kind of fun, is with some of the groups I work with, we do the Bajio Century, and we start at Eastwood Elementary, take the Parley's Path down to the Jordan River Parkway, take that into Utah.
Show a bunch of kids from the Cove, a different side of the Salt Lake Valley for a sec.
Yeah.
Get some funny observations.
Wasn't it fun? Like, we were riding there once and someone's like, look, that person's camping.
Someone's camping there. Like, oh, okay. Well, you've never gone west of Skyline.
Yeah. And that, but then we ride out to one of my favorite restaurants in Utah County that needs, that really is underappreciated, Bajio. Mm-hmm. And then we ride back a different way. So it's a big, huge loop and it ends up being almost 100 miles on the nose. And it's usually people's first century.
It's fun.
And it's fun.
I was really sad to miss it.
It was, but it's really hard to eat, to finish the second after your ride after eating a big burrito, but
yeah,
it's fun. So, CC P2P was almost too big of a success this year. Like, I was shocked at how many people showed up and felt really bad for any other trail users. We might need a little more organization this year, but I think that's something we're going to continue. Something I've been kind of working on in my head is going to be, I'm thinking of calling it the Snowbird WGU MCD. And I'll let you guys try to figure out what that means. WGU MCD.
The Western Governors University.
No. Okay. I'm just teasing it, but it's something I'm pretty stoked about next season. So.
Wow. What a cliffhanger.
It does stand for something, but.
Your acronym stands for something?
Yeah.
No way. Why didn't I think of that? I've just been throwing out random letters at people like a gift card code, but I should have been making it mean something.
Okay.
It's groundbreaking stuff.
So those are just some things that, and we even talked about too, like one idea we had was like a group Everesting attempt with support, with team support and stuff. And that's something we're considering doing.
White Rim is a thing we've done. I think, and I'm maybe going to, I don't know if you're going to cut this, if you want me to say this, but like, tell, if there's a cool thing you want to do, tell us. You know, like, we can't resource everything everyone ever wants to do, but we're really motivated to like do whatever makes you guys excited to ride bikes. If there's a thing you want to do and you want people to do it with you, or you need help, like when the Gibbons did their Everest thing, like that was like a lot of the team Everest things we've done have been somewhat supported either by friends or family or the team to some extent. Like if there's a thing you're like, I want to be the first person to do this. Oh my gosh. Let us know. That'd be really cool. Again, we obviously can't promise to resource everything, especially if everyone has a thing, but like I've been saying for a long time that there's a lot of cool opportunities out there to do all sorts. I mean, not only do you live in Utah, you live in America, like you live in North America, the US and Canada and Mexico are just, you could spend a million lifetimes and never run out of cool things to see or do. So think big.
Yeah. Think big, like the Snowbird WGU MCD.
I really would need you to run that by me 4 to 7 more times. And then I almost did the funny number.
6 or 7 times.
6 or 7 times. No, it's funny. Do you know the fact that you and I are doing it, the meme's dead. The meme's dead. But anyway, let us know.
Okay. So let's talk about mountain bike races. And as I said, these aren't gravel races. These are actual mountain bike races. And most of these tend to be more in the endurance side of things. But almost all of these offer various lengths that you could, you know, 20 miles, 40 miles, 100 miles. At one event, so people could kind
of... Something for the whole family.
Yeah. So the first series I want to talk about, and I think a lot of people are familiar with this series. It used to be a lot bigger than it is, like have more events than it did. But that's the Epic Ride series. Now, these are kind of cool. They're kind of like, it's like a weekend of festivities. They tend to draw a lot of pros. A lot of pros like to come do these. They're supposed to be a lot of fun. They're kind of known for doing like the Fat Tire Crit for just the pros, like to kind of kick off the event. But some of these that are nearby are, well, there's the Whiskey 50, which happens in April in Prescott, Arizona. And it has a 15 mile, a 25 mile, and a 50 mile option. But one thing that's cool about the Whiskey 50 that I think would be really fun to do is you can do it as a duo option, where you kind of like Cape Epic, where you ride it with a partner.
Oh, that's cool.
And you have to stay with that partner the whole ride. So that would be so cool to do with someone. If anyone wants to do that with me, let me know.
You were lining up a shot. I was like picking my nose over here. if someone really slow needs a partner, let him know. I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't on the ball there.
So this one, the next of the Epic Ride series is, and actually these aren't really in chronological order because I had Whiskey.
That'd make too much. You were too busy coming up with acronyms.
Okay. Whiskey 50s in April. This one's in February, but that's 24 hours of Old Pueblo.
Oh, I've heard really good things about this one.
Yeah, and that's in Tucson, Arizona. Unfortunately, this event's already full. So,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Dang.
So that which means it must be pretty good.
Wow, wow, wow.
If it sells out that fast, you can get on a waiting list still. I don't know. I'm assuming it's probably like Frog Hollow, you know, where you can do it in teams or as solos or and then the next one is the Tour of the White Rim Mountains in October 3rd. And
well, that's really not chronological here. Okay.
Yeah, that's in Pine Top, Lakeside, Arizona, and it's a 35 or 50 mile race, and it's mostly single track. So
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that one either.
Tour of the White Pine Mountains.
Yeah, and if you go to like the organizers' websites, you can usually kind of watch a video that'll show a lot of the terrain and it's kind of fun. So, so that's the Epic Ride series, and the next series, and everyone's heard of this series, is the Leadville Race Series. Mm. And these are a bunch of different endurance mountain bike races that you can, you know, if you participate in these, you have a chance to either qualify or win a lottery to go to the actual Leadville race. Mm. But a lot of these on their own sound really cool. There's one in Sea Otter in April. And this one has, you know, you've got like, you've got the marathon distance, you've got like a cross country distance and a short track distance, all kind of at the same venue. I've been to Sea Otter before. It's a really cool place for bike nerds to go.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like a bike.
It's an industry show as much or more as a race.
I almost felt like the industry show is a bigger deal than the race.
It's like the Geneva Auto Show of the bike, you know, it's Pink Bike's biggest weekend of the year. And they have all the bike radars, top five things we saw at Sea Otter. So it's a cool thing if you're like a nerd.
Yeah.
Which
like,
you
honestly
are if you're listening to this. Like,
I think Joe and Isaac Boyden would love going to this.
Oh, Xander, Isaac and I would.
Yeah. You guys would just like, just.
We would be the most unbearable.
But you know, it's a beautiful place there. Yeah. So there's some racing there. I think everyone's kind of heard of that event though. Okay. So this one, I kind of broke my rule because this one's in Minnesota. I'm just noticing. But the Lustin 99er, it's the end of June in Lustin, Minnesota.
The bike culture in Minnesota is incredible. It is the biggest bike place that no one's. St. Paul is like the most bike friendly city in America, and that Minneapolis is really good too. Like, Minnesota's huge. I shipped so much stuff up there for backcountry.
Really?
There's a lot of bike culture in Minnesota.
That race looks kind of cool. Then there's the Tahoe Trail, which happens in July. And in this one, a few of our riders went and did it. We went and traveled together and did it. It was actually really fun.
Yeah.
And, we've talked about that one, but like my daughter Amy to this day says that was the most fun she's ever had at a race.
Yeah.
And she keeps asking to do it again. She wants to go do it again.
If Amy likes it, it's the bike equivalent of like cereal with a cookie on top and a scoop of ice cream. Like if Amy likes it, that's a level of crowd pleasingness that is kind of hard to fathom. She should really listen to this someday and then get mad at us.
You know, and that race, the start was kind of wanky. But once you got...
What?
Is that a bad word?
Wonky?
Wonky.
Do we have any listeners in the UK? Apologies to you guys.
Sorry. I knew that word sounded wrong when I said it.
I could see that your eyes flittered for a sec, but then you just kind of kept on rolling, but...
Wonky. Oh, yeah, wonky. The start was a little weird.
Yes.
But once you got to where you did, like, the two laps and, you know, the lap or two... It was just some really, really cool scenery. Like you were in the shade the whole time. There was like supposed to be this one climb that was just awful and it wasn't that bad, you know? So yeah. I thought that was a lot of fun. This one's kind of cool too, is the Leadville Stage Race. It's in the end of July, and it's where the whole Leadville course is broken up into three different days, which is great training for actual Leadville and also a good chance to qualify. And, you know, it'd obviously make that like, because I think Leadville sounds like so much fun, but maybe doing it in the one big, huge chunk, obviously, like that's not going to be fun the whole time for everybody.
No.
You know, so... Yeah, then there's the actual Leadville 100 in August, and I skipped one. It's the Silver Rush 50.
Oh,
this one's cool. Okay, this one I'm really interested in. This is kind of a mini Leadville. It's in July, and it's a 50 mile version of the Leadville race, but uses much of the same course.
Oh,
and
cool.
So you kind of get that Leadville experience, but more manageable, and it's also a Leadville qualifier. So yeah, that's so
50 miles.
Yeah, that's the Silver Rush 50.
That's elevation, that's still a burly ride.
I know,
still.
It was a burly ride, but I think that for most people, you could have fun the entire time.
Yeah, it's more, because Leadville's quite a bit. Like,
yeah.
We wouldn't, like...
Nobody finishes Leadville and says it was fun the entire time.
Yeah. Interesting. It's in July, you say?
Yeah. It's like, so good. I mean, that would be good training for the actual Leadville.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is more than a day's drive, but it's Little Sugar out in Bentonville. I've heard really good things about that. The trails out in Bentonville, you need to check them out.
Yeah.
They are like,
I know it's not a new observation anymore that Bentonville's cool, and I wouldn't even call it up and coming. It's arrived.
It's there,
you know? I still have not made it out to Bentonville.
Well, let's do it. Cause there's a 20, a 50 and a 100. I'm not sure if these are miles or kilometers. I think it's kilometers probably, but
you think in Arkansas, they're measuring stuff in kilometers.
Well, like the Leadville 100 or the what's it?
Kilometer starts with K, Dan, just like communism. They're not using
no, the Tahoe trail, the Tahoe 100. It's kilometers. It's only 60 mile race.
It's a joke.
Okay. But, yeah. Well, anyhow. So,
anyway,
Little Sugar. I know. I think Xander did it and had a really great race. And yeah. So, so there's that series. Now another series, and you'll want to like go to this website because this series has a ton of races. It's the NUE that stands for.
What does it stand for?
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe something autocorrected. Hang on just a second.
What does it say? I'm curious.
National Endurance Racing Series. Can you pause it for a sec?
Okay. Be right back, folks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I Googled it. It actually stands for National Ultra Endurance. I was trying to what's the U for?
The National Endurance Series for losers. This is the National Ultra. I'm going to start the National Turbo Endurance Series.
I have no idea what that means. Okay. So... and so these are marathon and ultra series races across the country. There's a ton of them.
TrueGrit's one, right?
Yeah.
TrueGrit's the one you will maybe know if you've heard of it.
Yeah. So TrueGrit, I think everyone's heard of that one. We like Maybird has an awesome turnout at TrueGrit. Like a lot of Maybird jerseys at TrueGrit. I honestly think it's the race I have the most fun at.
Yeah. TrueGrit's really cool.
It's really fun. It's just kind of like the right distance that like you're not just dead when you're done. It doesn't ever get too dark.
You're not dead for 3 days after.
Yeah.
You're dead for the next day. It's not like point to point.
It's epic, but it's not. Yeah. It's pretty manageable. So yeah. So TrueGrit Epic is one of these NUE race series events. There's the High Cascade that happens in mid July in Bend, Oregon. There's the Big Beat Grizzly, which is in Big Bear Lake, California. Now, this is one a lot of people do, Pierre's Hole. You hear a lot of people doing this one. We had like quite a few Maybird riders do it before. I know Jamerson's done it in the past. I've heard it's just gorgeous. And everyone that does this race just raves about it. That's early August in Grand Targhee. That's one that I think we'll be doing here soon. Glory Days in New Mexico, that happens in mid-August. Ring of Fire is in Bend, Oregon, at end of September. So yeah, just go to the, just Google NUE, National Ultra Endurance Racing. And I didn't list all of them. These are just the ones that are somewhat close. So, but yeah, you can kind of go through those and then you can click on each organizer's website and they usually do like a presentation video about each event and you can kind of just see which sounds fun. But there's also some cool stage races that take place. And I mean, this, these kind of like, I don't know how well I would do at these because like I can do like a big long race, but I don't know if I could do it back to back kind of thing.
Yeah. The stage racing is a whole new.
Yeah. And so we're not really recommending this for youth athletes, but,
we have kids. We have kids who can handle it.
Yeah, you know, but post Nike or like Nike dads or something that have extra energy that they don't know what to do with. The first one is actually in Utah, Moab Rocks. Have you heard of that one?
I've seen a lot of Moab Rocks. Like Jeff Kabush does that one all the time. He was one of my childhood heroes. Moab Rocks is supposed to be cool because it's like super gnarly. It's like a genuinely gnarly.
It's true. Yeah. And they say it's the Down Country World Championship.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, like this is something I could see like Xander doing really well at. Or
oh, Xander win that. We have a lot of kids I think would be really good at that.
Yeah.
Interesting like, stuff.
I probably wouldn't be so good at this one, but.
you adopted a dropper post, what, like a year ago? Yeah.
But it sounds really cool. That happens in May. Then there's the Breck Epic, which is kind of like...
It's the pinnacle of cool.
Yeah, like that's just about as cool can get. That's 6 days of racing that totals 215 miles and over 33,000 feet of climbing.
It's basically doing almost point-to-point every day for a week, right?
Well, not quite. But and you're up at really high elevations. That would just be brutal but cool. There's also the BC bike race that sounds...
I was hoping you'd throw out BC bike race. That's one of my dreams. I think that would
be... That sounds so cool.
Unbelievably cool. Yeah. No, that and Breck Epic are logistic and financial challenges all their own, but that's like a lifetime event.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. So, you know, study hard in school, start a successful...
Open your dentistry practice. Yeah. You know, do a decade or two of surgery, quit your job, go do BC bike race.
And then let us know how it goes.
Send pictures.
Yeah. So here are some other races. These are kind of standalone races, you know, similar to point to point. Point to point's not part of a series or anything. It's just a standalone race that's gained a lot of popularity. Here's a few just to kind of throw out there that you may or may not have heard of. This is one I'd like to check out is the Butte 100. They claim it's the toughest in the country. And I watched some of the videos from it and it didn't look like the toughest, but maybe the cameraman was too scared to go to all the tough places.
Is it Butte, Montana?
Yeah.
Huh.
So... That sounds really cool. Now, one thing I want to throw out there is like a lot of these races have, you know, they'll have like 30 mile options, 60 mile options and 100 mile options, which a lot of times means that like they're done in laps, you know? So like, it's not like point to point where you're not repeating terrain
ever. Point to point is kind of unique in that regard.
Yeah.
Most races, it's difficult. I mean, there's not a whole lot of riding places on this planet where you can do that.
Exactly. Like, so I think a lot of these, you are doing laps, which I kind of don't mind because sometimes when you're doing laps, you kind of get it a little more dialed as you go.
I think mentally it can be, well, it can also be way harder. I don't know. It depends. But, I think it's nice too. You can take the family and like, you know, your little brother who started Nike a year ago, like
he can do the one lap.
Yeah. You know, he could do 30 miles, right? Like can do it. You're going to shoot for the 100, but like, it's not, you know, you could, you know, like, you know, your dad could do a lap, you know, you can do two and your brother can do three. Like that's kind of a nice, you know, that it's not like a bunch of people sitting around in lawn chairs all day waiting for you to do your thing. Right.
Yeah. So that's the Butte 100's one that I think would be super cool. Okay. This one, again, this one's not super local, but I think I mostly just love the name of it. Can you guess which one I'm talking
about? Is this the Transylvania one in Pennsylvania?
Okay, that sounds cool too. I didn't...
I've seen that.
This is the Iceman Cometh.
Oh, Iceman.
Yeah.
Iceman's, that's a cool, that's another
That's
kind
a big
benchmark.
Event.
That's a, dude, the pros show up for that one.
Oh yeah.
That one's really cool.
Yeah. That, and that's in Northern Michigan, mid-November.
Oof, Northern, legend lives on from Gordon Lightfoot fans.
So that one, okay. The one I'm.
You're just going to skip by my Gordon Lightfoot thing. Do you know what I'm referencing there?
Yeah. The Boat That Sunk song.
Put some respect on the name of the Edmund Fitzgerald, The Boat That Sunk. I'm a Titanic fan over here. Okay. I have my favorite sunken ship. I don't know about you. Anyway,
anyhow.
Moving on. That sounds, Northern Michigan in November sounds bleak.
I know, but that's, I don't know. For some reason that race just,
I can't imagine you not having fun at that event.
Yeah. Super cool. Okay. Now this, I think out of all the ones that I've talked about, this is the one I kind of want to do the most myself.
You've
next
said
year.
This like four times now, but carry on.
Well, I said next season.
Oh,
like, okay. There's a lot of these I want to do. And actually, going through this list made me, like I said, my bucket list is enormous now. I can't die very soon.
It's like taking a 6-year-old to the Cheesecake Factory. Every page. I want that. Now I want that.
Yeah. The Point to Pokey race.
Who did that this year? One of our, didn't someone do that this year?
I don't.
Was it Xander? Or someone.
Someone
did
it. But
man, we're terrible, like team runners.
Whoever did it, we're
someone
proud of
did
you.
It. We're proud of you. We don't know who you are, but we think you're cool.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a point-to-point equivalent race, and it almost seemed like there were some similarities, like they might be kind of sister races or something, because, but this happens in Pocatello, Idaho. And I watched their video. It seemed like the organizers are just super cool. It seems like a really like a cool vibe at the event. And it's, I think it's either like a six, you get to choose between a 60 or 100-mile race. There's not as much elevation as point to point. But it just sounds like a super fun, super cool event in a cool community that's, I mean, it doesn't take that long to drive to Pocatello.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What is Pocatello from here? Like
2 hours maybe.
Yeah. It's not two and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not too bad. And then the last one on my list is, and this one isn't a mountain. This one isn't mountain bike ride, but I really think that Maybird should consider doing this ride. A lot of you listening should consider this one because I think this is just going to be one of the premier events in the nation. And that's the Dirty Dino in Vernal.
Yes. I have heard, I hit Contender this summer again, not for long. Sorry, Ryan. Didn't have time, but, when I've been at Contender, Dirty Dino is all they can talk about. The like high end Contender gravel people cannot get enough of Dirty Dino, and it's right there. Vernal is underappreciated. Vernal really is underappreciated.
It's a cool town.
It's cool. Well, and there's cool stuff around it. I think Vernal is your cool, is like your place to be that is proximal to the cool stuff. Dirty Dino sounds sick.
And Vernal's like a big enough town that there's hotels and then
there's like good food.
There's decent restaurants.
Yeah, and it's not like,
and they're very welcoming to tourists. Like they really want people there.
It seems like they're trying to transition away from being an oil economy to a tourism economy.
Yeah.
That's what people say, right?
But I've heard that the scenery is just stunning.
Yeah.
And like there's some roads outside of Vernal that go up into the Uintas that are just nuts.
Crazy, crazy.
You get into some crazy elevations, just see some really cool stuff. So that's my list, you know, and you just, you know, hopefully you took some notes and you go Google stuff and check it out. And hopefully your bucket list gets a little bigger too. But yeah, there's just so many cool options out there. And, you know, it's just something you can kind of like, hey, I want to go do this. And I'm going to try to be ready for it. And
I'll throw it too for my people who are, you know, I have a soft spot for the people who are in the spot where I was 3-4 years ago, where college and early years of your adult life and stuff. Like and even for me now, like I think with the summers, I want to do a lot more traveling and racing, but like I had a goal for a long time that I would get from my car at the Snowbird parking lot to the top of Hidden Peak on the trail and back in under 2 hours. And like,
Wow.
I got that this year. That was like a thing. And it was like, that wasn't, I didn't pay anyone anything to do that. You know, like it, but it was like, come up with a thing. Or like, I heard someone who was saying that they wanted to have the fastest time to ride a road bike up Big Cottonwood and Guardsman's and then get on their mountain bike and get back down the crest the fastest. Like Strava KOM, like pick a KOM, right? Like I think do all these events, but even for people where like, and not that these people are probably listening, but like maybe parents, you know, like if you know your kid, like pick a thing, maybe. And honestly, like I think one of the flaws in the way a lot of people look at their bike careers, they're like, oh, well, Nike style, you know, 90-minute cross country racing, I don't like it that much. And it's scary and it makes me nervous and I don't have fun and I dread it and I'm excited for it to be over. Like Jacob, I wish that he'd kind of seen this earlier, because like there's so many cool things you can do. You know, try, and like you might find that like cyclocross is your jam. I throw that out, like cyclocross just ended, like you know, I'm really into the idea that we have Maybird kids who do Race Across America someday. We have these kids who like ride back from races for fun. That's a whole nother amazing, you like go cross a country on a bike in your 20s. Like that's a thing people do, you know, like there are so many cool, and I love your rule of do it in a day or under, but like, I think get out and ride some other, like when I get to ride my bike in Canada for the first time, I was like, this is totally different. It's shocking how different it is to go ride. You like, you guys live in the best place. I wouldn't move out of Utah, but visit out of Utah. I wish my younger self had done that more. So just like whatever it is, like for me, it was like just get Hidden Peak top and back in under 2 hours. Like do that after work. You know, like have a thing that you pick. And I think any of the things we talked about today sound awesome.
I actually want to do 1,000 KJs in an hour.
Maybird Zwift ride is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Have Xander show up to him. I had one, like, it was some absolutely cursed like rotation of people. It was like Xander and Andrew, and it was just like, I almost backed out with like 5 seconds. I was like, this is, I want to say really quick, with some Maybird Zwifts, it's not all, you can do whatever you want. There's the, and those guys were probably, you know, like scrolling TikTok while they were ripping my legs off, but 1,000 KJs in an hour. Like you did a Zweverist. Do we call it a Zweverist?
Yeah.
You Zweveristed last year. Like that's a thing. Pick a thing. With the hiking, pick a thing. You know, pick
and
a
it
challenge.
Only cost me like, I think I went to the store and bought $20 worth of junk food.
Yeah.
Before I Zweveristed.
Wow. I think that is the bleakest sentence I've ever heard. I went to this, I bought $20 of junk food and then I Zweveristed. But yeah, pick a thing. Pick a thing. And here's the thing. I don't want to like, no disrespect. My Instagram handle is still XCOJoe, mostly because that rhymes. But like, it's a big wide world of stuff. And I don't think anybody should say that they're done with mountain biking until they've done the homework to know that none of it's for them. And there is a lifetime of homework bike stuff for you to try. All those sounds so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do cool stuff.
Yeah. Be cool riders.
Yeah.
On Maybird.
Okay.
Cool. Good stuff. Everyone rides. Well, I probably ride indoors this week. I was going to say ride safe. If you're a real lunatic, put on your bright yellow vest and make sure you don't get hit by a car. But have fun. Zwift is
run,
a blessing.
Run, hike. So you can kind of ski now. Kinda,
yeah, a maybe. Little bit. Swim, I guess. Swimming's a thing for people who are really crazy. But be safe. Stay warm. Have fun.
What's our word?
Hang on. Let's see. What was the Iceman? No, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is your, because that was the 50th anniversary. It was all over TikTok. Well, it was all over my TikTok. I don't know if it was all over everyone's TikTok. Was it all over your TikTok?
I don't have TikTok.
Okay, bye.